So, I don't know how many big campers, you know, are listening or if you like camping, but I'm not a big fan of camping. When I first got married, we were living in Austin, Texas, and my wife was real big on, you know, trying to plan this camping trip. I think her and her dad went camping a lot. And I was currently working at a computer company there in Austin, and me and a buddy of mine and Jennifer and her sister were going to go on this camping trip that my wife planned. She planned it. I wanted no part of it. I wanted to be a surprise. So she went and bought some new stuff and decided we were going to go on this weekend camping trip. So, first of all, she gets home with, I don't know, like $300-$400 worth of stuff from Academy Sports that nobody's going to carry camping. We made her take half of it back. You know, just like lawn chairs and hula hoops, I guess. I don't know. All kinds of crazy stuff. But so she had this massive tent. And so we load up the car. And it's a 5-hour drive from Austin in the middle of nowhere. Not only is it 5 hours in the middle of nowhere in Texas, I mean, it's at least 45 minutes from anywhere. I mean, from a gas station. And so we pull up into this this beautiful campground, and there's like Winnebagos, and there's like dads outside throwing the ball with their kid, and there's a river, and it looks beautiful. And I think, you know what, this was a great idea. And then we pull up, and I'm getting out of the car, and I go, where's our spot? And she goes, oh no, I got us the primitive campgrounds. I said, oh, okay, the primitive campgrounds. Where are the primitive campgrounds? And she goes, it's a 4.7-mile walk that way. And points off in some random small patch of hiking trail that begins with small signs that says primitive campgrounds. So I then learned that the backpack that has been chosen for me is this massive backpack that not only buckles at your, not only goes around your shoulders, but actually buckles at your chest. It's like squeezing your chest in. Well, we take this 4.7-mile walk, and we put up, when we get there to this area, we put up literally what is a circus tent. It is this massive, I'm talking, there's a major living area, and then there's two separate bedroom areas for people to slip in. That's how, it is literally a circus tent, brand new, out of the box. And I remember saying, hey, I'm a little bit hungry, I'd like some food. And I will never forget my wife looking at me and saying, you said you wanted to live off the land. And I said, yeah, but I didn't mean let's not bring any food. And she goes, we didn't bring any food. And I said, oh, well, I guess I better go fishing right now then. And so me and my friend, we fish until dark. And guess what we catch? Nothing. We don't catch anything. We don't catch zip. And when we get back, my wife and her sister are just drunk. They have literally gone through an entire bottle of Crown Royal, and they're out of their mind drunk. And also, by the way, a little tidbit, I had just stopped drinking, and this is now happening. And so I'm going to bed. I'm done. I'm going to try not to have a outburst. I'm hungry. I think that could be understood. So I walk in to my wing of the tent, and I go, hey, where's my sleeping bag? And she goes, we're gonna share it. It said a double. And I said, that's when it's open, not when it's zipped up closed. There's no way we're both gonna fit in there. So here's what it looked like. My wife is in the sleeping bag. And my feet and calves are also in the sleeping bag. And it's zipped up to my calf. And then I have a towel on me. Well, it got down to about 37 degrees that night. And I woke up right before daybreak. And to say I'm hungry is so far an understatement that it's almost I'm hallucinating. Okay, so I get up and I don't wake anybody up. I get up and I just go outside the tent. I grab fishing poles and I go to the river and I just fish and I fish and I fish. And I catch a bass that has to be about as long as a man's thumb. And I catch a catfish that is a little bit less than long as a man's thumb. Two very small fish. I walk back to the camp where we're supposed to stay another night. And I walk back and I said, you know what? I'm eating these. I'm going to try to cook them and I'm eating them because I'm so hungry. So they were so disgusting that it made me not hungry anymore. So I guess in that way they did the trick. But in trying to clean them, I got blood all over my shirt. And
at
this point I'm parched. So I go to the ice chest and there's no more water in the ice chest. And I turn and I go, hey, where's all the water? And she tells me, oh, well, you know, we drank a lot last night. So we used all the water this morning brushing our teeth. And I was like, that's it. Time to pack up. We're out of water. We're 4 miles from anywhere. It's time to pack this stuff up and go. And so they started unpacking this circus tent. And my wife looks at me and says, hey, give me your shirt because it's disgusting with fish blood. And I give it to her and she throws it on our fire to help put out the fire. And then I pull our bag out of the tent and I go, hey, where's a change of shirt for me? And she goes, I thought you packed your gone clothes. And I said, no, you packed everything. Now, if you don't know what I look like, I'm a pretty big guy. And now I don't have a shirt. And I have to put this giant backpack on that buckles, giving me extreme male hairy cleavage. Okay? Now, not only am I wearing this backpack with now squeezing my man boobs together, exposing this male cleavage that I wish no one had ever seen, but the pans that were brought in hope of food to be cooked are tied to my backpack. So every time I step, it sounds like a cow going bling, blah, bling, blah, bling. Every step that I take with my man boobs, my hairy man boobs, is as loud as just pots hitting every time. I turn around in fury and tell them if they sprain their ankle, if they twist their leg, I would not turn around and come back. I was going to walk the 4.7 miles. I was going to get in the car and I was going to leave. And I didn't care if any of them made it back. I'd never been so upset in my life. So I come out and guess what? I come out red in the face, sunburnt, man-boobed, hairy chest, blah bling with the pots into finally the area where my car is parked where all these wonderful dads and families and cookouts and fishing and throwing the football sees my 270-pound just... You could taste my anger. It was thick. You could pour it all over pancakes. It was so thick. So I get into the car. I'm slinging stuff in the back of this 4Runner. And I go to the front to check out. And I still don't have a shirt. And they're selling like bottled water for like $5 a bottle. I buy 6 of them and they're like crack. You know, I kill one before I get back to the car. Now keep in mind, we have 45 minutes to drive before we're anywhere. We go 45 minutes. We get to our first town. We find a Chinese restaurant. And all, I'm just so thankful that the Chinese restaurant didn't have a no shirt, no shoes policy, because I'd had to sit in the car while everybody else ate. But explaining the story, regardless of how bad we smell, I think we made their fiscal month, at least their week, with all the food that we bought. And then all those jerks slept for 3 hours while I drove them back to Austin. And that's why I tell my son I will not go camping. His mom can take him. And he'll and if he survives, he survives. And when we talk about camping, I get about as intense and dramatic as I can. I was like, son, if you go camping with your mom, you better be ready, because you may not come back. And what's so bad is that there was a time when we were married that her grandfather was alive. And it was almost like clockwork. Every Christmas for at least 4 years, her grandfather would bring me into his back room and make me tell him about this camping story every year for 4 years. He loved it so much, of how horrible that situation was. And that's why I don't like camping. I hope you'd enjoy it.